ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, Text 12, Translation and Commentary. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tamatrir Bhagavanaikshat. Tvaramarnang Vihayasa. Amuktam iva pakhandam yo dharme dharma vibhramah tamatrir bhagavan aikshat tvaramanam vihayasa Amuktam iva pakhandam yo dharme dharma vibhramah. Translation. When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation. Purport. The word pakhanda used in this verse is sometimes pronounced pashanda. Both of these words indicate an impostor who presents himself as a very religious person, but in actuality is sinful. Indra took up the saffron-colored dress as a way of cheating others. This saffron dress has been misused by many impostors who present themselves as liberated persons or incarnations of the Lord. In this way, people are cheated. As we have mentioned many times, the conditioned soul has a tendency to cheat. Therefore, this quality is also visible in a person like King Indra. It is understood that even King Indra is not liberated from the clutches of material contamination. Thus, the words, amuktam eva, meaning as if he were liberated, are used. The saffron dress, worn by a sannyasi, announces to the world that he has renounced all worldly affairs and is simply engaged in the service of the Lord. Such a devotee is actually a sannyasi or liberated person. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, anashrita karma palam karyam karma karoti yaha sa sannyasi cha yogi cha. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. In other words, one who offers the results of his activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually a sannyasi and yogi. Cheating sannyasis and yogis have existed since the time of Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice. This cheating was very foolishly introduced by King Indra. In some ages such cheating is very prominent and in other ages not so prominent. It is the duty of a sannyasi to be very cautious because, as stated by Lord Chaitanya, Shanyashira alpo chidra sharba loke gai. A little spot in a sannyasi's character will be magnified by the public. Therefore, unless one is very sincere and serious, he should not take up the order of sannyas. One should not use this order as a means to cheat the public. It is better not to take up sannyas in this age of Kali because provocations are very strong in this age. Only a very exalted person advanced in spiritual understanding should attempt to take up sannyas. One should not adopt this order as a means of livelihood or for some material purpose. This chapter is called King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices. One who performs 100 horse sacrifices, Ashwamedha Yagyas, is qualified to take the post of Indra. Prithu Maharaj had performed 99. He was in the course of performing the 100th. When Indra came to thwart the proceedings, because he didn't want anyone else to be Shatakratu, a performer of 100 sacrifices. So, Prithu had to leave it at 99 and a bit. He couldn't complete the 100th one. Indra thwarted the horse sacrifice by dressing as a sannyasi and stealing the horse. If there's no horse, you can't have a horse sacrifice. Obviously. And that is being described here. Indra's cheating, the cheating propensity that was in Indra, because he wanted to pose as something that he wasn't for the sake of some material gain. The sannyasi is highly respected, or is supposed to be highly respected, Srila Prabhupada writes, for his practical renunciation. But some people of perverse mentality, for the sake of furthering their materialistic schemes, pose as being not materialistic, so that to gain people's trust and thus cheat them. So Srila Prabhupada writes here that this kind of cheating sannyas has been extant in human society since the time of this misbehavior by Indra. Although there's another famous sannyasi who wasn't, Ravana. But that doesn't seem to have had the effect of introducing cheating sannyas, because Ravana is, after all, a Rakshasa. It's known and it's clear to everyone. But Indra is a great devotee. He's the elder brother of Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a highly respected devotee. When we say a great devotee, he's not a pure devotee. And that's one of the points that should be understood from all of this, that we often see, I'll explain that a little more later. We often see that Indra does things, wrong things, in disguise. Or he takes another form. Just like with Ahalya, he took the form of Gotam, her husband, and in this way, wrongly took advantage of her. With Virochana, the son of Prahlad and the father of Bali, Virochana is very famous for giving charity to Brahmanas. So Indra came dressed as a Brahmana, and Virochana was very happy to see him, because he liked Brahmanas. He liked to give them charity. So he said, "What do you want? Whatever you want, I'll give you." So Indra, in the disguise of a Brahmana, said, "Give me your head," which he did immediately, chopped off his own head. That's why you don't hear so much about Virochana. With Karna, he did similarly. Karna's impenetrable armor that he was born with, Indra, in the disguise of a Brahmana, requested him for that, which Karna gave. So, wrong or right, well, in the case of Virochana and Karna, maybe not so wrong, because it was a means to achieve the end of keeping the godly people on top, which is an end that the Supreme Personality of Godhead also upholds. Indra's job is to keep the devas on top, and the daityas, or the danavas, or the asuras, keep them down. The godly people, those who wish to follow Shastra and who wish to follow Vishnu, they should be dominant in the universe, not others. So sometimes what might appear to be unfair means are adopted. These might be different Indras, because this is over a long span of time. Indra is a post which various people fill. So that point, is it always wrong? Maybe not. Vamana did a similar thing in begging from Bali. He didn't, not exactly disguise, but it was almost like a disguise, because he wasn't he didn't say, well, I'm Vishnu. He just presented himself as a Brahmana boy, and he didn't let on that he was Vishnu, although Shukracharya, who was very intelligent, even Krishna, he recognizes that in Bhagavad Gita. He states, Kavinam, what is that? Ushana. Yeah. He, among the highly intelligent, learned people, I am Ushana, another name for Shukra. So that was recognized, but anyway, he did his job of cheating, in one sense, Bali, but that was for the job of upholding the universe. There are many instances described in Shastra. The Pandavas disguised themselves as Brahmanas. They were quite able to do that because they could pass as Brahmanas, because as young boys, I mean, even though their bodies were big and strong and very powerful, but in their childhood they grew up among Brahmanas. So they knew the Brahminical way of life and culture. They grew up in the mountains, a long way from the city. And only later they came down to Indraprastha and Hastinapura. Yeah. So they were able to do that. And that was, first of all, yeah, when they disguised themselves as Brahmanas, after the burning of the house of Lakh, and then later on, they were 1 year incognito, so Yudhishthira describes himself as a Brahmana, Bhima as a cook, they're usually Brahmanas also, a different kind of Brahmanas, Arjuna as a eunuch, yeah, eunuch. And Sahadev, he was looking after the cows, I believe, and Nakul was looking after the horses. So this way they took different roles. They were in disguise. Samba disguised himself as a young girl, as a pregnant girl, but that caused the destruction of the Yadu dynasty for his trying to make fun of the sages. You know that? That's described in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. That he pretended to be a young girl, and he was taken before all the sages and said he had an iron lump to make him look pregnant. And he said that, can you tell whether it's going to be a boy or a girl? They wanted to make fun of the sages, to show that they couldn't understand. But they said they could understand that this cheating is going on. They said, "This what is in your stomach will cause the destruction of the whole Yadu dynasty for them trying to make fun of the sages." So, disguise. It's a ploy. Ramachandra, he is said to have wandered in his kingdom incognito. And then he heard some washerman criticizing himself for having brought back Sita, who this foolish washerman considered to be unchaste, and he considered Ramchandra to be foolish for having accepted an unchaste wife. That's also... yeah, there's a word in Sanskrit. What's it called? Charadud? Something, I believe it is. Spy. So, disguise can be used well or can be misused. Indra, in this instance, is misusing that. And the result is that by taking the role of a sannyasi, when he's not really a sannyasi, he opened the door for others. No one would have considered doing that previously, but then others also who are materialistic, they take that role. Interestingly, in the Sanskrit, it's stated, Pakhandam, this Pakhandi, the common word is there. And then a description of, or a definition of Pakhandi is given, means in simple words, a bogus sannyasi or a bogus religious teacher. Yo dharame dharma vibhramaha. Someone who is confused about what is dharma and what is adharma. So they may, in their own minds, they may think that they're doing the right thing, but they're doing the wrong thing. Generally, everyone thinks I'm doing the right thing. Or even if they know it's wrong, they try to justify it themselves. So Indra, no doubt, when he was doing this, in his mind, he had some justification. Everyone thinks what I am doing is right. But not what everyone does is not necessarily right. But they think it's right, and they're confused about that. About what is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to do. Even Bhishma, who's considered as such a great authority on dharma, when Draupadi demanded from him and others, is this correct? What's going on? Can Yudhishthira gamble me away after being lost himself? And Bhishma, instead of standing up and saying, look, this whole thing is disgraceful from beginning to end. The whole concept of the gambling match to cheat the Pandavas was disgraceful. And it's come to this point of insulting Draupadi, which was actually much worse than cheating Yudhishthira. The whole battle came to be fought for the sake of gaining Yudhishthira's kingdom. But even if Duryodhana had consented to give 5 pinpoints of land or 5 villages, still the insult to Draupadi would be unrequited. And Bhima had vowed to kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra. And especially he had vowed to drink the blood of Dushasana, to rip open his heart. So that was the worst thing. But even Bhishma in that instance, he said, well, the ways of dharma are very subtle and I can't give a decision here. He waffled. He talked his way out of it. I mean, there was gross adharma going on right in front of everyone's eyes. But he said, well, I'm not really sure. I can't say. So, not that Bhishma's a pakhanda. This was all the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to that the Dhritarashtras, the sons of Dhritarashtra, would be destroyed. But those who are bewildered, they don't know what's going on, and they take the role of a religious person, and then they're cheating others. And Srila Prabhupada often pointed that out. How people, they take the role of a religious leader, but they mislead others and cheat others. Now there's this discussion going on, who will be the next pope, the leader of the Roman Catholic Church. So whoever the next pope is will lead the people in the name of God in animal killing, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. Actually, the Catholic Church, to their credit, they are against abortion and even contraception, although most of the people don't follow them. But they don't really have any clear indication of what illicit sex means. But definitely, you know, all these three religions, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, they're all into having slaughterhouses and just promoting sinfulness. So they're also, we wouldn't say directly, wouldn't write it in a book, that, well, the Srila Prabhupada has written many heavy things in the books, but it's clear that people who are promoting, Srila Prabhupada does write in the books that anyone who's supporting slaughterhouses is extremely sinful. So that includes His Holiness the Pope, whoever the next one may be. What to speak of the last one who went out? They said he was a great saint, this John Paul II, but his favorite food was veal, which is, you can look it up in the dictionary if you want. It's too horrible to describe here, how they torture the young calves. And so, this is this cheating propensity by which one takes the position of a spiritual leader and then misleads others. And this is going on now. So much in the modern age, the vibhramam, the confusion about dharma and adharma, is so acute that people actually expect that religious leaders should open hospitals, mundane schools, feed the poor. They actually expect. And Srila Prabhupada, Giriraj Maharaj, I was there when he said that practically every day people would come to Srila Prabhupada and say, why don't you open a dispensary, hospital, all these things. Practically every day they expected, and Prabhupada, no. He was... So people expect sannyasis to be mundane, to be involved in bodily activities. Of course, they may be engaged in bodily activities to some extent. They may, just like if you make an ashram, you make some arrangement for prasadam distribution, and for people to rest. And ashram means a residence where people rest, but that's not the purpose of it, although some people might think that. The purpose is to live there for the sake of spiritual realization. And because you need somewhere to rest, that's arranged, but it's not that the ashram is arranged to solve people's eating and sleeping problems. It's to solve the problem of birth and death. And because while we're in the business of, or in the endeavor of solving the problem of birth and death, we require something to eat, some place to sleep. For that reason, that arrangement is there, so people can live together and cultivate the consciousness by which we get free from birth and death. But it's easy to misuse that. It's very easy to misuse, especially a leadership position in spiritual organization. It's very easy to misuse, as Indra did here, because he specifically took the position of a sannyasi because people trust them for being selfless, and he committed his selfish activities under that guise. So Indra is not fully condemned. It's not that we should understand that Shukadeva is describing and Valmiki has described Indra performing activities that are not the kind of activities that are recommended. Brahma is also described as such. Is deep humility, offering obeisances. Maybe the young boys, they need a younger boys, they need a separate class than all this philosophy. Or maybe he just needs a little sleep. So it's not that they're exactly blamed, but it just, after all, you have to be a very pious person to be Indra, or Brahma, even much more so. To get the post of Indra, you have to perform 100 horse sacrifices, which means you have to be like really first-class Kshatriya. And to take the post of Brahma, one has to execute the duties of a Brahmana spotlessly for 100 lives. So you have to be a first-class Brahmana. So they're not ordinary people, and we shouldn't think that, well, we shouldn't condemn Indra. Of course, the position of Indra is sometimes scoffed at by devotees. Vidhi mahindra dish chakitayate. This Prabodhananda Saraswati says that the one who has got the Yakarunya Kataksha Vaibhavatam Tam Gaurame Vastumaha. He offers obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by even the slight merciful glance of whom a person considers Brahma and Indra just like a worm. So it doesn't mean that we think that we start condemning Brahma or Indra, but that we don't see that, we don't aspire for that position. We aspire for the position of being engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. We don't aspire for the post of Indra or Brahma, but we don't condemn them. And even though they may appear to be performing such less than first class activities, still, is to be understood their great personalities, just like Bhishma also, that he didn't state clearly when he should have done in that assembly, but we don't think of him as being anything less than Mahajana, great devotee of Krishna. But at the same time, by recounting these less than first class activities of Indra, they are told to us so that we can understand that piety in itself doesn't really purify the consciousness. If one is simply amassing piety, that performing pious activities, that may not purify the consciousness. It may even pollute the consciousness, because one thinks, I performed so many sacrifices. I'm helping out. I'm doing good things like planting trees. One can actually become proud, and pride can lead to a fall down. And that's in the case of Nahush also, who took the position of Indra and then became proud and fell from that position and came down to be a snake. That was also the case of Indra, that he fell. Nahush took the position of Indra because Indra insulted his guru. Again, getting in trouble. So many times getting in trouble. And then Nahush took the post, he became proud, and then he became a snake. So, all these instances, Nahush was a very pious king, otherwise how could he take the position of Indra? But all these show that without purification of heart, we're always in a very dangerous position. And even to be a devotee like Indra, he's a devotee, he's the elder brother of Vamanadev, all the demigods, headed by Indra, they daily offer morning arati, mangal arati to Vamanadev. Not a statue form, but the actual Vamanadev. So, they're very pious, they're great devotees, but the Bhagavatam especially promotes selfless service. to Krishna without any personal desire. This is the special message of Bhagavatam. And also by recounting these incidents, we understand that what a dangerous position we're in. We shouldn't think that, well, I'm so exalted, because even Indra, even Brahma, if they slightly deviate from the proper norm, they can get in a lot of trouble. And of course, it's easier to get in trouble when you're a big person, in some ways. In some ways, it'll be overlooked because you are a great person, but on the other hand, it will be seen by everyone. Just like, for instance, if I was to be seen drinking wine, it's caught on video. Bhaktivikas Swami is drinking wine. Of course, outside of ISKCON, no one would give a damn, but within ISKCON, it would be scandalous. Whereas if one of you, I guess, were caught on video drinking wine, it wouldn't have such a big effect, because at the present time in our sojourn through this material universe, I'm in a more prominent position than you are. So the bigger you are, the more your wrongdoings are noticed. Sanyasira alpa chidra sarvaloke gai. That's quoted, Srila Prabhupada has quoted this here, that a sannyasi's slight fault is announced by everyone, discussed by everyone. There are so many examples, just like in the material sphere, when Bill Clinton, he was the president of America, was revealed to have been engaging in extramarital sexual relationships, it became a big thing in the press all over the world. If it had been one of his classmates, when there was one of his ex-classmates at school who was doing some, I don't know, being an accountant somewhere or something, it wouldn't have been in the press. And probably no one would have minded much except the accountant's wife, or maybe the husband of the person he was having illicit sex with, of course. With, in the case of Bill, he was an unmarried woman, so that didn't come into the picture. So, leadership brings responsibility, and the bigger you are, the more people talk about it. Well, what we can think of a person much, 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 much bigger than Indra, who apparently does some wrong activities and people talk about it. I'm talking about Krishna. What about Krishna? He also performs wrong activities, isn't it? Or seemingly. And people are talking about it even now. That just goes to show how big a person Krishna is. Whether you like Krishna or you don't like Krishna, he's known for dancing with other people's wives, marrying a lot of women. And not only that, but most of them were already used, it seems, or they're already in the custody of someone else. And the list goes on. He's a thief. He also went in disguise to cheat Jarasandha. Well, the three went in disguise. They went to beg for a fight. He killed his own maternal uncle. What about that? What do you think, Gauradas? Now you're in the Hare Krishna movement. People may accuse you of worshipping a uncle killer, mama killer. Then the list goes on and on and on. His cousin brother he also killed. I mean, it's normal for cousin brothers to call each other bad names, but Krishna cut off the head of Shishupal for doing so. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the list goes on and on. How he arranged for Drona to be killed by unfair means. Karna, he didn't just arrange it, he told Arjuna to just kill him now. But it's not dharma, said Karna. And so on. So, here Indra is stated as having introduced a wrong kind of sannyas. What about Krishna? He did so many things wrongly. Parikshit Maharaj asked that when the rasa dance was described. Parikshit said that, well, Krishna came to establish dharma, so why is he dancing with all these women who are not his wives? And then Shukadeva explained that, that actually everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Enjoyer. And so on. Is it that Krishna introduced some wrong things? It could be said like that, but that would be by people who misinterpret Krishna. Just like there are people who think that, Krishna, he dances with gopis, so we are devotees of Krishna, and we need some gopis. If you have any gopis, then any woman will do, especially if they're young and beautiful. So we find like that. Krishna likes gopis, so I'm a devotee of Krishna, so I'll dress as a gopi, even though I'm a man. So there are people who misuse this. So it may be misused, but you can't say that Krishna is faulty, because there are many reasons. One reason is that Krishna is the one who's in charge of everything, so he sets the rules. And everything rotates around him. So serving him is actually punya. And not intending to serve him is called pap. There's one verse comes in Hari Bhakti Vilas to that regard. That apparent punya is pap if it's not done for Krishna's pleasure. And pap is punya if it's done for Krishna's pleasure, what otherwise would be considered to be. So that's one consideration. Another consideration is that Krishna gives us ample instruction as to the actual nature of reality. So that we can understand all these points, if we care to. That's the problem. Most people don't care to. Another point is that even the best people are misunderstood, misrepresented, and misinterpreted. And that happens with every religious leader, every genuine religious leader. And there are bogus religious leaders who deliberately do wrong in the name of being religious. And then the genuine religious leaders, they're always misinterpreted. Just like if you... Just for instance, Jesus, his teachings are all about serving God, being good to others, but that's all relegated, and all you have to do is believe that Jesus died for our sins, and then you can do any damn thing you like. Although Jesus himself never said any such thing. So, he's misinterpreted. Buddha, who taught that ahimsa, paramo dharma, non-violence is topmost religion. You'll find almost all the great majority of Buddhists in the world are all meat eaters. They don't kill animals. They have someone else do it for them. So the idea is that, we didn't harm any animal. We just eat them, that's all. Someone else killed them. Of course, you keep the butcher in a job by buying meat from him every day. So, everyone is misinterpreted, that's the nature of the material world, but Krishna gives us ample instruction of what to do. And also Krishna is inimitable. You could become Indra or Brahma, but you can't become Krishna. So his position is unique. And he's not acting in a selfish way. That's another point. Indra, although he might justify it this way or that way, he is acting for upholding his own position. But Krishna doesn't do anything to uphold his own position. He doesn't have to. Krishna is so secure in his position that he can take the role of a young child, dependent on others, and still he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if he presents himself as very weak and incapable, aham bhakta parad hino nahiya swatantra eva dvija, he says that I'm under the control of my devotees, I have no independence. He places himself under the control of his devotees. But his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never threatened. There's no question of that. So Krishna doesn't act selfishly, but he's prepared to break the rules of dharma, apparently, although there's no question of him actually breaking the rules of dharma, but he might appear to do so for the sake of protecting his devotees. From Krishna's side, the most important pronouncement about himself in Bhagavad Gita is Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. That's Krishna, he will always protect his devotees. And if he has to apparently break the laws of dharma, well, he's showing by apparently breaking the laws of dharma to protect his devotees, he shows that his highest dharma is to protect his devotees, even if others will blame him for that. Of course, Krishna doesn't have to. He doesn't, the whole battle of Kurukshetra, in one sense, was unnecessary. Krishna could have just wiped them out, just the Kauravas out, just by thinking of them, but just by desiring to do so. But he wished to glorify his devotees. He wished that Arjuna get the praise for doing so. Bhima and Arjuna, nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. So Krishna does everything to glorify his devotees, and that is highly laudable that Krishna does so. That is the quality that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that people who are just stuck on the platform of praising God as you are the highest, you are the greatest, you give us our daily bread and all this kind of thing, they can't understand or appreciate how Krishna, he upholds his devotees. He doesn't just give people bread because they pray for it. I mean, even a government might do that. Tamil Nadu, they give free rice to every family. So the rice merchants are out of business. So giving daily bread, there's got to be more about being God than giving people daily bread or daily rice, daily annamu or whatever you may want to call it. So, Krishna gives everything to his devotees. He gives himself to his devotees. He becomes the property of his devotees. And that is his dharma, which is for those who can appreciate it, which means devotees, that is most laudable. And of course, for the non-devotees, they'll never appreciate it. So, people may criticize. They'll go to hell for criticizing Krishna. People may wrongly imitate, but by doing so, they simply spoil themselves. Now, Indra here is said to have instituted a wrong understanding of sannyas. So, but if he hadn't done, someone else would have done. In one sense, it takes a great person to do such a thing. Just like Lord Shiva instituted Mayavad. If he hadn't done, someone else would have done. Not exactly instituted, it's always there in human society. This wrong idea of Mayavad, it's always there. But Shankaracharya gave that a great boost. Who could have done that? But such a great personality is Lord Shiva. And that was also required in human society at that time, because there were so many people who wanted to be envious of Krishna, and then Shankara gave them the means to do so via his Mayavad. So it all has a purpose. It's quite complex because human society, human psychology, human motivations, human culture, it's not very simple. And the ways of Krishna's working, they're also not very simple. And our brains are also not very developed to understand all these things. So Indra, he was the he gave impetus to the tantrics and the Ramakrishna mission, divine life fellowship and self-realization fellowship and all this kind of thing. That the sannyasis, but well, not really to the point. Some are worse than others. They simply take advantage of that post to cheat others. So did Krishna do that? Well, you could say that Krishna dancing with so many girls, that was later imitated by others, but actually that's going on all the time. If anyone is dancing even with one wife, that's also imitating Krishna. If we don't understand that this wife, she is a Vaishnavi, we are to live together in Krishna's service. That the wife is not for me to enjoy or exploit, but she is sahadharmini. She is to assist. Sahadharmini means, we don't hear the word sahadharmi. It's that the man is assisted by the wife. Just like you have a pilot and a co-pilot. Then if it's a co-pilot, then it should be two co-pilots. But no, one is the pilot and one is the co-pilot. Co-pilot means the assistant. So sahadharmani means assistant. But dharma, not sahabhogini, one who assists in enjoyment. That mentality is sinful, of even one wife. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I could have sex 100 times if I could produce Vaishnava children. So he wasn't against that, even though he was a rigid brahmachari, rigid sannyasi. But he wasn't against the principle of sexual activity if it's in Krishna's service. So all these points are to be understood very clearly. Some people may imitate Krishna. Everyone's imitating Krishna. Everyone who's not heard the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees, everyone's imitating Krishna. But that's their wrongness. It's not Krishna's wrongness. Does Krishna set a bad example? Yes and no. He states in Bhagavad Gita, having said, yadyadacharati shreshthas tatadeveta rojanaha sayat pramarnam kurute lokas tadanuvartate, having said that whatever actions are performed by great persons, all the common people follow. And he's given the example of Janak, and then he gives the example of the greatest person, namely himself. He says, yadi hi aham navartayang jatu karmanyatandrataha mama vart manu vartante manushyaah partha sarvashah. He says that if I just was whimsical and abandoned everything, then everyone would follow the bad example. And he goes on to say that this would bring ruination to the world by bad population. So, as Vishnu, he maintains the world. He performs his duty, you could say, although there's no duty imposed on him. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha. He has no duty, but he accepts that duty. But as Krishna, it might seem that Krishna is setting a bad example, but actually he's setting the best example of what it means to be Krishna, the independent personality of Godhead. That is inimitable. No one can. That's why we have to hear about Krishna and understand that no one can imitate him. There's also this statement of Bhagavatam where Shukadev Goswami answers Parikshit Maharaj, who asks that, well, isn't Krishna setting a bad example? And Shukadev says that the actions of great personalities, they're never to be considered wrong, and they are inimitable. He gives the example of Lord Shiva, who drank poison. So if you want to imitate Lord Shiva by sometimes many persons who claim themselves to be Shaivites, they take bhang, which is a concoction of marijuana, saying that Lord Shiva does, although we don't know if there's any evidence that he actually does so. He drank poison, so maybe they're imitating that, but you can't imitate Lord Shiva. And similarly, one should not attempt to imitate Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer. So Krishna perfectly fulfills his role as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he instructs us to perfectly fulfill ours by acting in his service and by following the rules of dharma as given by him in Shastra. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Sannyas is one of the five activities forbidden in Kali Yuga. What is the main reason? Srila Prabhupada says that this sannyas is generally associated with Mayavad, so that kind of sannyas is forbidden in Kali Yuga. But Srila Prabhupada also said that sannyas is intrinsic to the Varnashram system, so it cannot be fully banned, or you can't say it's completely wrong, but there should be an actual sannyasi to take it up. Vaishnava sannyasi is never forbidden, and therefore in the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, they all know this is stated in Shastra, and they all have sannyasis from long before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took it up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself quoted that verse, Ashvamedham gavalambhyam sannyasa pala paitrikam devareena sutotpattim kalo pancha vivarjayet. In Kali Yuga, these five are forbidden: horse sacrifice, cow sacrifice, acceptance of sannyas, offering meat to pinda to the forefathers, and Devarena, begetting a child in the womb of one's brother's wife. These are all forbidden in Kali Yuga. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself quoted that when he was speaking to Chankasi, and shortly after he himself accepted sannyas. So what does it mean? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a hypocrite? No, but he knew the actual meaning of the verse. Sannyas should be accepted. But as Srila Prabhupada writes here in this purport that we just read, unless one is very sincere and serious, he should not take up the order of sannyas. One should not use this order as a means to cheat the public. It is better not to take up sannyas in this age of Kali, because provocations are very strong in this age. Only a very exalted person advanced in spiritual understanding should attempt to take up sannyas. One should not adopt this order as a means of livelihood or for some spiritual purpose. Hare Krishna. You have a question. 3.35? What do you mean? Chapter 3, text 35. Yeah.
It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faulty, than another's duties perfectly. And distraction in the course of performing one's own duties.
Yeah. Shrayan Swadharma Vigana Paradhamat Swanushtitat, where it's better to perform one's own swadharma, prescribed duties, imperfectly than to discharge another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own activity is better than, what is it? How does Srila Prabhupada translate?
Better than another's duties perfectly.
And others performing another's duties perfectly. Okay, so what's the question?
In my case, I find
In your case, yeah, Kali Yuga is extremely confused. There's no... Well, there is. There are instances in Shastra of what to do if the wife misbehaves, or in the lives of our acharyas. Ramanuja, his wife was offensive to one of his gurus. Ramanuja's wife was offensive to one of Ramanuja's gurus, and Ramanuja took sannyas. That was his response. Although that might not be the response of everyone. Anyway, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives general directions for how specifically to apply it in everyone's life. Well, therefore we have to seek spiritual guidance. And I'm not going to start talking about your personal situation right here and now. General principles we can discuss.
I'm not able to justify my role as an ashram teacher. Because
yeah, but again, you're asking about your personal situation.
No, I'm not again asking about my personal situation.
Well, it certainly sounds like that.
No. I think that as in the book distribution and city preaching, all these things. So, yes, sometimes I'm not able to express this mental that I'm not able to do this role of. I'm not justifying that thing. I felt many times that way. What should I do?
It'll be very difficult to advise you if you can't listen. I'm saying that I don't want to discuss your personal situation here and now.
Krishna comes to the world by destroying the enemies of India.
Yeah.
But it looks like from Bhagavata, the same Indra had given trouble to the devotees of Krishna.
Krishna comes, Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Ridayanti Yuge Yuge. Krishna comes in every age to destroy the enemies of Indra. But Indra himself seems to give trouble to the devotees. Yeah, there are instances to Vritra, who is a devotee, but he was taking the role of an asura, which I just discussed in Valavidyanaga. Indra tried to kill all the Vrajavasis. What a great offense. But that's described in the Nectar of Devotion, that Krishna, first of all, he thought, I'll just kill Indra for this offense. But then he thought, why should I bother? Indra is so insignificant. Why should I bother killing him? So there are instances where Indra appears to be, yeah, he gives trouble to others. So, but again, the point is that Indra is in that position. He's got the responsibility of upholding the universal order of keeping the devas who oversee all the functions of the universe, such as. Oh, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this tapamya ham aham varsham nigrinam yudsrijami cha. I give heat to the world, I give the rain and withhold it, but that's done by via the agency of various demigods. All kinds of function, passing stool, that's overseen by Niriti, demigod, then awarding the results of the activities, that's all seen to by various demigods, watching over everyone. So Indra maintains the universal order to keep the demigods in power. So Krishna upholds his position. Just like a king, he maintains, on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he maintains and protects the citizens. And he might do some things wrong sometimes, but still he's the king. The king is to continue in his position. If he becomes extremely wrong, as in the case of Vena, then he may be removed. But then when Vena was removed, there was a problem because there was no king. And then instead of having one rogue on top of the government machinery, there was all the other rogues just ran wild. So you need someone to be in charge. That's the understanding. And yeah, in Vedic culture, the king, he has his advisors, brahmanas, he doesn't act independently, whimsically, but sometimes he may do something. That's why Arjuna is considered exceptional, because the kings, the kshatriyas, they always have opportunities for performing sinful activities. Women, can you imagine when Arjuna goes, the women will just be, must be so attractive to them, not just by his physical features, but by his glorious deeds and his reputation. And there were different women who approached him, but he didn't accept them all. I mean, he would consider on the grounds of dharma, accepted Ulipi on those grounds. He accepted, what was the Manipuri princess? Chitrangada. The mother of Prabhuvhavana. But then he wouldn't accept the advances of Urvashi. He always considered, but most kings, they may not be so self-controlled. Arjuna himself became attracted to Subhadra. So, but we shouldn't think that's mundane either. But there's so much opportunity for misusing their position, but they're guided by dharma, and Arjuna is exceptional in that regard. Well, he dressed as a sannyasi, He was also, it's another disguise story. Arjuna disguised as a sannyasi was being served. And of course he was in disguise. Yeah, I mentioned that before, as the eunuch. Hare Krishna! Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.